From sunny Eastbourne. It was sunny when I left. Don't know whether it's still there, but it's raining now, is it? Right. Well, they can have it. I'm here, so it doesn't matter. Can't get the weather right, can they? So, a question before we start. Let you do the work rather than let me do the work. The question is, and you can just discuss that where you are sitting with people next to you. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. But just ask the question, what is the greatest change that you have seen in your lifetime? For some of you, your lifetime is a long lifetime. For others, it's a shorter lifetime. But in each of our lifetimes, change is happening and will always happen. But what is one of the biggest changes that you said, you know what, when I grew up, it was this. But now, it's this. Discuss. I'll come back to you to ask for your opinions. And it's your opinion. You can't go wrong. It's not a wrong answer. I'm not fishing for a particular answer. So don't go super spiritual on me. Just say the speed limit on the road changes or something like that, you know. Discuss. Okay, a few more seconds. Okay, can I have my first photo up, please? My photo number one. Okay, try and remember it. I'll come back to what you've just discussed. If we can have that kind of full screen. If you click the two little arrows at the bottom here, the two little arrows at the bottom. This one here. That's fine. We'll get there. There we go. This was the scene that greeted me on Wednesday. Some of you know that I drive for Patient Transport Ambulance Service, and I had the... I would say the joy, but it wasn't really a joy. I had to go to Guy's Hospital with a patient. So I had to go to St. Leonard's, pick up the patient, and then from St. Leonard's I had to drive into that city there, which of course is London. Now it looks fantastic, but I bet some of you would have gone on Denmark Hill, which is where this picture was taken, and you probably had a different view because that wasn't there many, many years ago. Also, I would not have managed if I did not have a sat-nav that took me close to Guy's Hospital. But the patient was wheelchair-bound, so I couldn't just drop her by the side of the road and say, do the last bit yourself. Fortunately, the patient had been before. And the patient told me, you go left here, you go right here, because the sat-nav was trying to take me through Belfrith Tunnel, which we are too tall for. Because it was made for horse and carriages, not for big ambulances. So I'm not allowed to go through there because I will scrape my roof and then my wages that month will be significantly lower. So she says, I'll go left here, go right here. And then she said the words that no driver wants to hear. I haven't got a clue where we are. I don't recognize this. And I'm thinking, well, if you don't, I certainly don't. Now, normally I have a second crewmate who will kind of help you along, but she phoned in sick that morning. So this was the first time ever for me to go all the way into deepest, darkest London, with an ambulance.
And then suddenly I drove a little bit further and the lady then shouted, oh, I know where we are. And then it says, you've reached your destination. You might have heard that phrase before. We hadn't reached our destination. So I just pulled a little bit further and suddenly there it was, Guy's Hospital right in front of us. So I did drop her off on time. She was pleased. I was quite chuffed with myself as well. But change happens, and that's kind of what I was thinking. I got an email during the week, Eric, do you know what you're speaking on yet? And I had to say, no, I don't. I was asking God, and I said, I want something, but stuff has happened this week in America. You know, a preacher got shot dead. And it kind of did things to me that I didn't think, I didn't know the guy. I followed him on the socials, but I didn't really know him. But he stood up for what he believed in, and he got shot down. And I thought, how do you preach into that? We're living in a changing world. So that was one of my changes, and I'll come back to one or two others. Let me just hear some of your changes. Anybody, shout out, what's the biggest change? Nothing. You're too young for change? Were you born like that? No, you weren't, were you? No. So you've grown. So you've changed. Yeah, see? Okay, so well done. Communication. Such a big thing, isn't it? As I just said, I got emails this week saying, do you know what you're preaching on yet? In the past, you would get a phone call. You would get a personal call saying, oh, hello, how you doing? But now it's just an email, quick email, because we don't want to disturb the person. We don't know what they're up to. They can collect it at their convenience. They can look at it or they can ignore it. That choice is yours as well, by the way. Yeah, text messaging. Yes. There was a joke quite some while ago that it's quite funny that a phone was called a cell phone because actually it feels like you're in a cell with that thing all the time. Yes, well, there you go then. There you go then. Yes. When the phone was actually connected to the wall, we were freer than what it is now when we've got it in our pocket. Strange thoughts. But yeah, communication, you know. But I'm glad that I don't have to write a little note, catch a pigeon, put it on his little leg, and then send it to my friends over the other side. So I'm quite glad. I'm quite glad that I don't have to go through that. Or that I have to go through a telephone exchange and ask them to send a telegram on my behalf. And that I have to wait for ages before something came back. Or even writing a letter. Anybody knows what that means? Yeah, stamps. I mean, ridiculous. The price of a stamp these days. No wonder we're using email. Anyway, so it's changed for the better, but not necessarily for the best. Okay, another change. Moving away from home. That is one of the biggest changes. One of the most stressful things in people's lives, according to a survey, is that one. Children moving, well, even us at our age, and maybe yourself at your age, I'm not sure, but change, moving to another, making new friends. That is scary. No. I'd rather stay where I am, what I know and what I do, where I am. Like I said, going into London, I've never been there with an ambulance. I've been there as a tourist. Oh, London is quite nice, actually, as a tourist. Hop on the underground, although there was an underground strike on, so there was even more traffic on the road. But you can do that. But I went as a tourist, but now I had to go and do it for work. So change, yeah, change where you live. Who here in their lifetime has ever moved away? No, let's do it the other way. Who still lives where they were born? And I'm not meaning a hospital. Okay, that's not many of you. Not many of you. So they don't know what we're talking about. But yeah, change when you move. Okay, great example. Thank you for mentioning that. Anybody else? Yes. That was debunked, yes. The atom, they believed it for such a long time. That's the smallest particle known to humankind. And then suddenly that gets debunked and they say, oh, hello, there are even smaller parts. And they're still changing that. So even science that is so factual says, oh, no, it's changed. I don't want to knock evolution theory for those who want to believe that. But I kind of laugh at it when they shave off just millions of years. It was 100 million years, and now it's 50 million. What, you just shave off 50 million years? I mean, come on, how accurate is that? Anyway, that's just by the side. But things change, even within the scientific world, things change. Great example, thank you for that. Anybody else? Yes? Having a family during certain times of, yes. And COVID, and now the results in schools. We've got a school in Eastbourne who this year, so September, new start of school year, they are now having extra hours at school. They go to school from 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. This is year 11, that's the GCSE year, and they have been kind of forced to, up until May, go from 4 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a longer day than what they used to, simply to catch up what they lost out during COVID. That was a big change in our society. Yeah, I wish we learned more from that, especially as churches, because in a sense we went back to how we always done church. I think that would have been a time. We got more creative during COVID. We had to. And certainly online, as we were mentioned here, was actually good for us. And we were really creative. And I think we've kind of dropped that ball a little bit. And that's for a different sermon. Great example. Thank you for that. Yes, certain times, certain situations force us for that change. Yeah. Anybody else here at the front row? Gone through some change? What was the discussion about?
Moving away.
So yeah, you had similar. Oh, right. So you have actually moved both ways. Yes. Yeah, so you've seen the best of both worlds, so to speak. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so moving away once again. Yes. Social media and what's done to people on social media, through social media, online bullying, that sort of thing. Yeah. And it started kind of out with, you only showed your best side. Look at my garden. But only that particular photo of that particular part of my garden. Don't look at the rest. I'm not showing you that. But now, actually, you're absolutely right. We're kind of, some of them are actually posting deliberate to cause debate or to cause anxiety amongst other people. Great example for that. That has changed. Yeah, in the past, you had to have the guts to go up to a person and say it to their face. Now you can actually hide behind social media. It's a bit like dating. I had to go up to a girl and ask her out. Now I can kind of say, send her a text message. Oh, I spotted you the other day. Not that I'm doing that. I'm happily married with two children. So, we were singing earlier, praise him on the trumpet, psaltery, harp. Some of the instruments I recognize, some of them I think, and what on earth is that? So even that has changed. Now, I don't know whether you watched the last night of the proms last night. Anybody watch it? What was the most unusual instrument during that broadcast? Absolutely right. The typewriter. Bill Bailey himself played an amazing piece on the typewriter. Now, I want to change that song that I praise the Lord on the typewriter. Now, he had one of those old ones that's got a little bell on it. He cheated. The bell was actually underneath his foot. Yeah, I did spot that about halfway through. But it made that sort of zooming noise. Ding. It was lovely. Very creative. I loved it. But that typewriter, he had the old-fashioned one with the cord that you need to change. Yes. Now, I've got a typewriter on here. It's ridiculous. But hang on. Something hasn't changed. It's still a QWERTY keyboard. The keyboard layout has actually not changed that much over the years. They have tried. I think one company tried to do it in alphabetical order, failed miserably. For some reason, the QWERTY keyboard does work. Computers still have them, our phones still have them, and it's amazing. The other thing that hasn't changed, as far as I know, is a paperclip. A paperclip has always stayed the same shape, isn't it? So we say, oh, everything changes. Well, that's not entirely true. Any other change that you want to share or not? No? Okay, glasses, you're absolutely right. Glasses, that you pointed to your glasses. That they stay pretty much the same. I thought you were pointing to your glasses anyway. Can I have my second photo, please? So this is another one of those.
Do you not just do the toggle off the keyboard because you're in photo view? Yeah, just toggle it, I think. Oh, there isn't it. Sorry about that. Sue, I'm disappointed about you, by the way. Your biggest change? Your biggest change? Your job. You changed your job. Yes. Yes. Sue changed her job and she spoke so highly about it. I thought she's going to jump up and say, job change. Anyway, changes happen. So this transport is the other big change. This is a train in Holland. It's a double-decker train. I was on that last weekend. I was actually in Amsterdam. And this is a double-decker train, which you haven't seen here yet. They might still come, I don't know. I love them, they're great. But when I was a child, we didn't have double-decker trains. So even since I moved here 33 years ago from Holland, that has changed. Suddenly there are double-decker trains. And they are slightly wobbly at the top. Quite interesting. So, well, you're probably talking about the British railways, but it's probably all the steam and the coal, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, once again, great, great example that even the surroundings was blackened by the steam of the steam train. So, once again, change. Next one. Sorry to keep you on your toes over there, but you seem to have the habit. Yeah, that's it. I thought I'd make it local. Look at that. But there is one thing in that photo that's still there, which is the Downs Hotel. I've just driven past it. It is still there. I'm testimony of it. Now, this is somebody's writing. It's not Hollywood sign. It's not the Hollywood sign in Wooding Dean. What is in the photo? This one? No. That one? Well, apparently that was the Baptist church. Who knew? I certainly did. Thank you. So that's changed. That was 1925, I think, that photo. 1925, so yeah. Oh, excuse me. Eric, do your own work. Thank you. But yeah, things change, but actually some things don't change. So the Downs Hotel, still there, still with the writing on the roof as well. And the last photo, please. Because we need to get into the word as well. Here we go. Now that road is in a sense still there, but not like that. You wouldn't walk along that road anymore. You will take your life in your own hands if you walk along that road. That junction is still there, and it's a horrible junction. Every time I come over the seaside route to Brighton Hospital from Eastbourne with the truck, we have to go up this road here and we pass that sort of junction. I will never look at it the same way. You can also see the bus in the middle. There used to be a bus up to the race course where now the race course is, and it would carry 8 people. That was its capacity. So things change. Okay, back to scripture. I think that's far more important. But we are kind of saying, so the phrase is, Jesus is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. That's the verse that I want you to take away from today. If anything else, don't take away the Downs Hotel or anything else. Take away scripture, which says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're just going to unpack that. Because in a sense, as I said to the young guy, what's your name? Yeah, Sam? Seb, as I said to Seb, you have changed. You weren't born like that. Jesus was exactly the same. He was born as a baby. So physically, he has changed. He grew up to be a 30-plus old man. He did change. And yet we say of him, he was the same yesterday, today, and he will always be forever.
So that has to say something different than the person that he grew up to be. We have to look deeper than that. We have to look at what did he stand for. That was the same back then, is the same now, and will be the same forevermore. I thought one of the youngsters might say that, one of the parents might actually say, one of the other things that's changed is education and the way we educate. Somebody did mention school, but in the past, if I was to go home and I would have said I got an F for a certain subject, my parents would have a right go at me. Whereas now, when a child goes home and they've got an F, they say, right, let's go back to the school and speak to the teachers, because it's the teacher's fault. Things, oh, they change. But Hebrews 13:8, in a context of a changing world where things at a rapid pace change, lives are snatched away. That's where I came to think about Charlie over in America that got shot. It changes, and yet then we sing songs in church like Great is Thy Faithfulness. Yeah? There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thank you, not. Thy compassion, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. That is what we hold on to. We have got this anchor, this hope in a world that's being shot apart, literally. I didn't know how to answer because people at work know that I'm a Christian. I've done this job just over a year. They by now well know that I'm a Christian. I said to somebody earlier, I've got a captive audience. I'm in the truck with them for 10 hours. This is my crewmates. They can't go. They like to go every now and then. Oh, I need a toilet break. I think, or are you trying to escape me? Oh, I'm not quite sure. The patient, of course, they're however long the trip is. And I try to sit in the back rather than drive when there's a patient on board because I love chatting to the patients. And 8 out of 10 times, the gospel does get mentioned. I can't preach. That's not within my remit. But when they ask a question, I can answer. And when they ask, saying, well, how on earth, where did you get that from? I try the answer to be biblical so I can say, well, it's in the Bible. I can't always do that, but I try to. Because that is the one solid thing I've got. I've got nothing else to offer these guys. And some of them, there's one guy, I might have mentioned him before, we take him 3 times a week from Eastbourne to Brighton on a stretcher. He goes to dialysis. I've picked him up when he's in a good mood. But more often, I pick him up when he's in an absolute foul mood. And he just wants to give up on life. Because it takes 6 people to carry him out of his house onto the stretcher. And it's undignified. Where he lives is not nice. The alleyway is not fit for a stretcher. And yet we have to do the job. And when I'm driving with him, I'm sitting in the back. And every time we go over a pothole, and there's quite a few around here. Why are we paying taxes? That's a different sermon. There are potholes, and every time we go through one or this road at 4 o'clock, you might well know it, gets backed up all the way up to the hill, and we get stuck in it too. We don't have blue lights. I can't just go past it. I have to sit in it with him moaning. And very often for the first 4 or 5 months I had this patient, he would just go every now and then, oh, Jesus Christ. And I just coiled within, and I thought, it's not my place to correct him. It's not my place, but it is upsetting me. So I prayed about it. And I prayed some more about it. And I got no clarity. And then one day we were driving. And we actually came on the 827 into Brighton. And he went again because we had to brake very abruptly. And he went. And I said, you're really religious, aren't you? I don't know where that came from. It just came out. Because I was quite frustrated. And I said, you're quite religious. He says, whoa, why? I said, man, you're praying to Jesus Christ every time I meet you. And we had a good conversation. And then he told me how he was put off religion because of the way he's found himself to be on dialysis for so long. And I can see his point of view, so I pray for him. I can't give his name, obviously, but pray for this patient as well.
But he has not sworn as much as what he used to do when I'm in the truck. And I've even heard this from other crewmates. Which is God at work, because God is the unchangeable. And yet he changes situations, he changes people, but he doesn't change. His love doesn't change, his goodness doesn't change. Jesus healed people in his time, he will still heal people now. Why this guy doesn't get healed, I don't know. I'm not God, and just as well, because I wouldn't make a right mess of it. Jesus healed the lame man sitting by a pool. He was made back to walk. A blind man named Bartimaeus was made to see. The sea blowing and churning, causing fear, was made to be still. A little girl, a widow's son, a man named Lazarus were all made to rise from the dead. He did it now. He can do it today. And he will keep on doing it whilst he's God and whilst he's Jesus. Do we believe that? Do you believe in the same God that I believe in that says I am the same back then? Oh yeah, we believe in the God who did all that. Not so much. I don't see it around me, so he's probably changed. No, God doesn't change. He's the same and will always be forever. Thank you so much. That is the God that I serve. When you go to Google Earth and you look at Wooding Dean, there's one little place that has also been around for a long time, but its purpose has changed, and that's called the police box. It's quite contentious because some people want to knock it down and build some property on it. Some people have actually lived in it because it became a dwelling. So these changes are happening. And then when change happens, people get a little bit upset. And yet when I change, I hope I change for the better. And people are saying, hang on, you've changed. And I hope they say it in a good way. Otherwise, they might say, oh, so-and-so, they'll never change. And that's a negative thing, isn't it? So we want people to change. Otherwise, we say, well, they never change. They're so stuck in their way. Yeah? Yeah, we do. Well, exactly. We do, don't we? Last week, I think it was, Sue was preaching on the hand of God. Yeah? The hand of God is in everything. And it's the hand of God that causes us, me, you and I, the world situation around us to change. Because I have got many a dialysis patient, but not all of them are like the one I've just mentioned. Some of them have taken it that this is just part of who I am now. And they will be happy, happy is maybe a big word, but they are content with their lot. And when I dig a little bit deeper, most of them, not all of them, but most of them have a faith of some sort. Isn't that interesting? People of faith have this anchor because we know the God who did it then could do it now and will certainly keep on doing it until he comes again and calls us home. Amen? So Jesus is present yesterday, today, and forever. That's what he promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It says it so many times in the Bible. I will not leave you nor forsake you. God has been present throughout all of history. Jesus as God has been present on this, Jesus as God has been present on this earth as well. They were present when Enoch walked with God, when Abraham was there, when Moses was there, when Paul was there, when Charlie Kirk, who got shot dead last week, was there. God was there too. When you have a doctor's appointment this week, God will be there too. And when your time or a loved one's time comes in the future, God is there too. Do I look forward to it? Not at all. Not at all. I don't want to lose my loved ones. But we live on planet Earth. And the one thing that doesn't change is the rate of death. Unless Jesus intervenes and he brings people back to life. Because he is present. And each generation of Christians will have to somehow face the change that's in their society. We as a church, you as a church here, I heard you mention Gerald, he's coming next week, and he's, I think, with a view, is that correct? Or has that already been decided? I don't know. What's...
A bit before that.
Sorry? A bit before that, so you're in early stages.
So he's just coming. And but you are going through that change as a church, as a people together. That's not up to just the leadership of the church. That's you as a church. And that will impact this whole area. Because different people coming to the area will bring change, whether we like it or not. They have their own ideas, hopefully biblical ideas, godly ideas. But God will put them here for a purpose, if that's the right person to be. Yeah? And there are quite a few churches that go through this. And you've got a moderator helping you and all that is going on in the background. But the good thing is, the brilliant thing is, that God is still the same God that had that little Baptist church in the corner on the photo. He's still the same God today. But each generation will have to find ways of reaching out. COVID was mentioned. And we got so creative online. And then suddenly I think we kind of dropped the ball. We need to pick it up again. I loved being with you when we had the service on the beachfront. Yes, that rubbish truck was rubbish. It really was. It was annoying. Just when I was about to speak, but it was okay. And I still remember that little boy who walked away with that free paper t-shirt. His life will change because of that. His mom and dad will probably walk along that promenade with the same little boy many a time. But when they walk past that little bit where we as a church sat, they will say, oh, do you remember? Do you remember that this crazy guy just folded a boat and made a t-shirt and gave it to you? And we're praying that that will have a longer lasting effect. So what is it that you can do as a church for Wooding Dean or for where you live? Because not all of you are from Wooding Dean. What is it that God is calling you for such a time as this? Because don't forget, God is the same, but the way that we present the message will be different. Yeah, social media was mentioned. We should hijack it as Christians. I might be contentious here, but I don't like it when people say, oh, I'm going to give up Facebook for Lent. No! Please don't. That is the one time that you should be prominent, that you should be stating every day throughout Lent how good God is. Don't go off social media and say 40 days of silence. What is that about? 40 days of silence any time, but not around Easter, guys. Hijack Facebook, hijack Instagram or whatever you're on. We have to find this new form of mission to go with the old message. That's always the same, and that's Jesus died for you as a sinner. Yeah? You might have seen the four symbols that we all have sinned. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. And then the last symbol is a question mark. Now you've got that information, what are you going to do with it? That's all we have to say. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an evangelist. You just have to say, you know what? We all have sinned. That includes myself. Don't go up to somebody on the bus and say, oi, have you looked in the mirror lately? Because you are a sinner. Good luck with that. There are other ways of bringing the gospel. There are more loving ways. Yeah? I can't say to every patient, have you sinned lately? We need to find ways that work. And I serve a God who made this beautiful world. I know that the view has changed. But if you look that way, it's a glorious view coming into Wooding Dean. And sometimes we need to look at a different perspective, the perspective of God, who was the same back then, who is the same now, and who will be the same evermore. We just need to change the way that we're doing it. That's why we can sing songs like, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. Because his heart remains tender. His eye remains penetrating. His ear remains attentive. His arm is still as powerful as it's always been. His presence is always near. His name is still as sweet as it's always been. His blood is still as efficacious. His righteousness is still as glorious. His promises are still as certain. His oath is still as sure. His throne is still accessible. His love is still so vast, so great. And his concern for all of us is still as deep as it's always been. And his intercession for me on in front of the Father is still prevalent today. That is my God. That is the God that I serve and I will continue to serve. Why? Because Eric is so good? No. No. On a rubbish day, you don't want to meet me. My patients know about that. When I haven't slept, it's not a comfortable journey. There's not a lot of conversation going on. But I pray for grace every day that I will show the one who is constant. So that in this ever-changing world, they've got something. The world, my neighbors, my patients, my friends, my family who are not Christians yet. They all see something that they want. Because it gives certainty in an uncertain world. It gives a steadfastness that they don't get from government. That they don't get from politicians. That they don't get from an education or a healthcare system. They can only get it because we are people of the word. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you once again that your word is just so relevant for all of us. As we looked at those photos, things change around us. As we had discussions of change in our lives, we are so thankful that we have a God, we serve a God, we can love a God who will never change. The things you promised then are still as relevant for us today as will be for our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. Father, help us as your body, individually, corporately, as a church, to find ways of presenting this life-changing gospel. To find ways of telling people there's somebody who loves you so much that he decided to die for you. But he didn't stay dead. He rose to life so that we can have life and we can have life abundantly and to the full. Father, for those who have issues with neighbors particularly, we want to pray that your grace will be on that household. That you will present a breakthrough that comes out of love rather than court cases. For those who have been praying for tens of years for family members who refuse to accept the gospel, Father, we pray for a breakthrough. We pray for open eyes for the ones that we love, that as it stands, will not share eternity with us. Father, change our hearts that we might be more compassionate towards them, that we might love them better because you love them so much. For those who generally struggle with life because of afflictions or old age, Father, we pray your comfort over them. That through that comfort, they know they are reaching out to others. That others will ask, how on earth, in your situation, can you be so calm? And they can testify of the goodness and the glory of God. Father, we pray for ourselves when we fear change. Because we actually can't see the next step. And yet we know you are the same, so we should walk with you. Give us greater faith. A deeper love for you so that we can trust you wholly, totally. Father, we want to pray for the church here. The future is in your hands. And yet on a human level, decisions have to be made. So grant wisdom. Grant unity. So that the world will know that there is a God who will never change. Will never stop loving people. Will never stop being God Almighty. So Father, we are thankful. And we revel in this amazing grace that you've given us. Let's finish with Amazing Grace.